Now 901 introducing Ellie Weber, a shear on Sefer Mitzvot. Take it away, Ellie.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. Today is going to be more. It's a work in process, in progress, because I think that there are real ideas behind the mitzvah I want to do today, which is in this week's parasha. And I think it could yield bigger understandings, but I'm not sure. So I want to say up front, yeah, I want to learn through sources with you. I'll make observations. You'll agree, you'll disagree. You know, I do have some ideas I want to get to, but I'm not 100% sure of how to formulate them and whether some of them are in fact correct. Okay, the mitzvah that we want to do, and I struggle, that's the world's worst title for a shir, because it is a mitzvah, but it's hard to get through it. So I called it, you know, prohibition on avodas Hashem while drunk. Okay, obviously some of this is the juxtaposition between Shmini and Purim. You know, it was something I was thinking about when I came across it in the following sense. Whatever you're going to say about Purim, there seems to be, you know, a positive value to drinking. Okay, you know, we can struggle through how much, and you're not supposed to drink too, whatever it is. But no one is surprised to find out that Chazal saw a value in drinking on Purim. And then you come to this week's parsha, source number one. Now, let's just put this in context, right? What's Parsha Shmini about? Well, it's Vayhi Bayom HaShmini. There was 7 days of Miluim, right? 7 days of practicing, of preparation. Call it, you know, Avram will like this, call it spring training, you know, for the Beis HaMikdash, okay? And then Vayhi Bayom HaShmini. Yom HaShmini is opening day. Yom HaShmini, you know, everything counts. The statistics count. It's a real game. Okay? So what we have in our parsha is the narrative of opening day, which, of course, involves the tragedy of two of Aaron's sons dying. And then we have a standalone parsha, a standalone paragraph in the Torah that it exists on its own. And it says as follows, okay, so you can't help but notice that this is one of the diburim that are directed just to Aaron. I don't remember how many, there aren't that many. Right, it's not Vayderashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron le'mor, it's Vayderashem el Aaron le'mor. Yayin v'sheichar al teisht ata uvanecha itach b'vo'achem alol moed v'lo tamutu chukat olam l'dorotechem. God says to Aaron, you cannot drink wine, and probably sheichar is not beer, but other intoxicating drinks, right? Not you, not your sons, when you come to the olam moed v'lo tamutu. Presumably, because if you do, you will die. So there is a blanket prohibition on Kohanim drinking wine and other intoxicants before they come into the Ohel Moed. Presumably, it's inconceivable that they would drink while they're in the Ohel Moed. No one ate or drank in there. So this is a prohibition on them doing it when they come, before they come in. Then Pasuk Yod is a harder Pasuk. Ula havdil bein ha-kodesh uvein ha-chol uvein ha-tameh uvein ha-tahar. You know, you could understand the Pasuk in many, many ways. The general thrust seems to be to separate between that which is sanctified and that which is profane, presumably meaning that if you did avoda when you had drank. Now, again, I'm fudging the line. There's a thing about drinking, and then there's another concept called being drunk, right? And we know the difference. So it's a little hard. I don't see drunk in the Pasuk. I see drinking in the Pasuk. Okay. Now Yud Aleph, another strange Pasuk. it starts with a vav, so it's additive to what came before. Ula horot et bnei Yisrael et kol achukim asher diber Hashem aleihem biyad Moshe.
And One second.
The simple reading is ula horot et bnei Yisrael, and to teach bnei Yisrael. Presumably, the Kohanim teach bnei Yisrael et kol achukim asher diber Hashem aleihem biyad Moshe. The chukim that God had commanded them via Moshe. Okay, interesting again. It starts with a dibur just to Aaron. It ends with learning the Torah that God gave to Moshe. In between, what's clear is there is a blanket prohibition on Kohanim drinking in advance of coming into the Beis HaMikdash. Again, you could argue that it's any drinking. Maybe you could argue that it's being drunk. But either way, you know, it seems obvious this is an absolute prohibition. Yes, who wanted to ask a question? I'm sorry.
I have a question to ask you. In Purim, we had this one, I remember who it was, but they used to learn together, and he got drunk for Purim.
Yeah, yeah, okay, Rav Huna and Rav Zeira, I think. Yeah, I know the story.
And he killed him.
Good.
And then he asked God.
I know the story. Yeah.
Why would God even get involved with them? If you're dead, you're dead. You're not good. It's not, it doesn't make
sense. So I don't want to deal with the Purim story right now. Without being disrespectful of it, it's an agadata. An agadata might be understood literally. It may be understood in other ways. But, you know, let's leave it that way. Hey, also, Irving, you look very fuzzy. Just letting you know. Okay, back inside. So on the one hand, great, we have psukim in this week's parasha that tell us in Isser Doraisa that's going to be codified by the Rambam, that it's prohibited for Kohanim to drink and then do avoda on the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, no big chesh. Now, we could look at it just for that, and we could just use these psukim. Except there is a context to this prohibition. Even though it's written in the Torah as a standalone paragraph, we all know that this prohibition is given immediately after, you know, a great tragedy that occurred. And that's source number two. And to be clear, source number two in the Torah comes before source number one. I just wanted to present it in that way. Here's the story. Vayikhu b'nei Aharon Nadav va'avihu ish machtato. Right. Aaron had four sons. The two oldest, Nadav and Avihu, each took a fire pan. Vayitnu bohen ish. And they put ketoret in it, and they put fire in it. Vayasim olea ketoret, and they put in incense. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem ish zara asher lo tziva otam. And they then brought before God a foreign fire. What made it foreign? Asher lo tziva otam, meaning the things we do in the Mishkan / Beit HaMikdash, we do not because they make, you know, internal sense to us. We do because God commanded us. So if you bring ketoret that God did not command, and certainly if you do it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim where you're not supposed to go, by definition, it becomes an esh zara, right? It becomes literally an avodah zara, a strange avodah, because God did not command it. The result is pasuk bet, vateitzei esh milifnei Hashem, vatochal otam, vayamutu lifnei Hashem. Okay, a fire comes out, and it incinerates them, and they die. Okay, and then the Torah goes on with more parts of the story than just the very end. So Moshe says to the remaining part of Aaron's family, Aaron, Elazar, and Itamar, don't mourn. If you do that, God will get angry. Who will mourn the two brothers? The rest of Bnei Israel will mourn them. Umi petach ol moed lo teitzu pen tamutu. And they listen, They don't mourn. They don't sit Shiva. They stay in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay? Rashi, of course, so everybody asks the same question, which is, what exactly was the sin of Nadav and Avihu that God killed them? Okay? There are no less than 8 options. It's funny, because the Torah is vague about it. Nadav and Avihu become the world's worst people. They did this. No, they did that. No, they did that. They did that. They did so many terrible things. Here's the Rashi that we all know in source number 3. Vateitzeish, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo meitu b'nei Aharon, elo al yidei shehoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabbah. Okay, they paskin halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a chiv misa. Okay, that's a less popular one. Here's the more popular one. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, shtuye yayin nichnesu la mikdash. They entered the Beis HaMikdash drunk. How does Rabbi Yishmael know this? He says, Teda. No. She'achar mitatan, because after they died, his hir hanotarim, shelo yikansu shetuye yayin lamikdash. God immediately warns all the other Kohanim not to come into the Beit HaMikdash when they're drunk. Meaning, right after source number 2 comes source number 1. Rabbi Shmuel says you can't ignore the context. Clearly, they must have been drunk. So now Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, everybody should know it's an Issur D'oraisa to be drunk. Mashal l'melach shayelo ben bayit. Okay, and now Rabbi Shmuel quotes a famous Medrash. The Medrash is as follows. I'll just do it in my terms. You know, God comes and says, I don't know, your mother comes and says, you know, don't go outside in the winter with your hair wet. Okay, because you could, you know, you can catch a cold and you could die. Okay, that's one warning. But then a tragedy happens to somebody else, and then your mother says to you, don't go outside in the middle of the winter with your hair wet so that you don't get a cold and die like Uncle Joe, who did this and got a cold and died. And so the Medrash says, obviously, the warning that the mother gives the second time is much more powerful. And therefore, says the Medrash, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Right after Nadav and Avihu die for having been drunk in the Beis HaMikdash, God introduces the halacha and juxtaposes it to make clear how serious this offense might be and what the consequences might be. Okay, that is, I think if you ask most people, that's the explanation, right? Why is the Isser Shtuye Yayin, why is the prohibition on being drunk in the Beis HaMikdash written right here in Shmini? The answer is because it's written in response to what Nadav and Avihu did, which must be, even though it's not in the Pasuk, it must be that they drank. Okay. The Ramban is troubled by this simple narrative for 2 reasons. One is, he says, we have every reason to believe that Nadav and Avihu were great people. You know, they were going to be the successors to their father. This piling onto Nadav and Avihu, like they're the worst people in the world, you know, it's difficult. And it seems kind of intuitive. You know, you would know when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're not going to be drunk, right? That just seems like a basic, you know, a basic mistake that people shouldn't make. Second, and I think this is even a better question that the Ramban asks is, wait, ein onshin ela im kein mazhirin, meaning you can't punish unless you warned. And if the Torah only comes and tells us that yayin v'shechar al teish data uvanecha itach bevoachem al ol moyim, means before that it was an asur. So how can you tell me that Nadav and Avihu sinned by drinking when it wasn't yet Asur? It only became Asur afterwards, as everybody seems to recognize in the Parsha. Right? Having seen the tragedy, God shows up and says it's Asur to drink in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? That's the Ramban's questions. But now let's go back and spend time on the Isser itself. Again, let's just assume for the next few minutes that all we have is source number 1. We just have a parsha of what's called shtu yayin, that you're not allowed to drink in the Beis HaMikdash. Now let's understand the parameters of that halacha. And let's start, as we often do, with the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos in source number 4. The Rambam says as follows, Mitzvahs lo sase ayin gimel. V'hamitzvah ha'ayin gimel, hi shehiz hiranu, mehi kanes la'mikdash, o lehorot b'davar midinei ha'torah b'hiyotenu shikorin. Okay, interesting. The Rambam has a bunch of chidushim in that first line. First of all, he says, there's two parts to the lo tase. The first is you can't drink or be drunk in the Beis HaMikdash. The second is, which seems related but certainly not the same mitzvah, o lahorot bidavar midinei haTorah biyotenu shikorim. You're not allowed, and presumably in the Rambam this is an issur d'oraisa, to paskin halacha if you're drunk. Okay, so again, our antennas come up immediately saying they don't seem like the same mitzvah, right? The Rambam says it's an issur d'oraisa. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is that you're prohibited to drink in the Beis HaMikdash, and also you're prohibited from paskining halacha. The last interesting thing the Rambam he says very clear, bihiyotenu shikorim. The Rambam says this is a din in being drunk. It's not a din in drinking. As we all know, and we'll see later on in halacha, there are two statuses. One is to be a shatui, which means you drank. You drank more than a revius. I don't know. Maybe you have a buzz, but you're otherwise perfectly fine. And then there's being drunk, right? And so the Rambam says this halacha applies to being drunk. You cannot be drunk in the Beis HaMikdash. You cannot paskin halacha when you're drunk. Now, the last thing to note is that, because this is going to be a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rambam says that it's usur to be drunk, mehi kanes la mikdash, to come into the mikdash. The Ramban thinks that's wrong. The Ramban thinks, based on the various gemaros, that it's usur to do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash if you're drunk. Okay, you can't bring a karban. But the Isser d'oraisa is not to be there. The Isser d'oraisa is to do avoda when you're drunk. Okay, let's continue in the Rambam. Second line. V'hu amaro yitaleh, what's the source for this Isser d'oraisa? Our pasuk. Yayin v'sheichar al teisht b'vo'achem el ol moed. You're not allowed to drink when you come into the ol moed. Now again, here in the pasuk at least, the Ol Moed is the inside, right? Ol Moed is the Kodesh. It's going inside the covered area where the Shulchan is and the Menorah and the Mizbeach, etc. Okay? That's one source. So it's usur to go in when you're drunk. And then he says the other pasuk, Ula horot et b'nei Yisrael. So it's fascinating. When we read it, it wasn't exactly clear. Pasuk Yudav, Ula harot et b'nei Yisrael et kol achukim asher divrei Hashem aleihem b'yad Moshe. The Rambam, based on a bunch of Gemara, says, here's what it means. What does hora'a mean? What is la harot et b'nei Yisrael? He says, to paskin halacha. That's what it means. So the Rambam says, there are two psukim in this paragraph, in this week's parsha. One tells you, it's also to be drunk in the Beis HaMikdash. And he says it's also to be drunk there, even if you're not doing avoda. And second, it's also to paskin halacha when you're drunk. But they're not both also on the same level, says the Rambam. V'yesh chiluk ba'onesh lavzeh. There's a distinction between these two prohibitions. V'zeh. Ki shtuye yayin. Interesting. Says the Rambam, the prohibition of being shtuye yayin, which I don't think means drunk. I think it means just having drank. What's the prohibition? Says the Rambam, it's prohibited to go beyond the Mizbeach hanechoshes. Again, we've discussed this before. If I could pop up a diagram, it would be better. But let's assume, okay? Assume that you're at the Kotel. So right above you and to the left, you're at the Western Wall. So the thing that's closest to you is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? Further east is the Kodesh. And beyond that, even further east, is the whole outside part of the Beis HaMikdash. So again, if you're working your way from west to east, you know, the Kodesh HaKadosh, the backside of the Kodesh, is the first thing. Then comes the Kodesh, which has, again, the Mizbeach HaZahav, the Menorah, the Shulchan. Outside of it is a space. The next thing you come to is the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, the big Mizbeach outside that they sacrificed animals on. Beyond that is the Ezrat Yisrael, the Ezrat Nashim, all these other areas that more or less anybody could go to. So the Rambam says, once you walk within the area of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, the outside Mizbeach, that area is off limits to anybody who has drank. I think that's the English word for it. Maybe I'm not conjugating it right. But you're not allowed to go into that area, not just indoors in the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which of course is Asur, but you're not allowed to even go into that area. That area has an additional Kedusha, and if you've had anything to drink, you can't go in. Okay? Why? Vizeh, third line where my cursor is. Kishtuye yayin, ef shay lohem lehikanes mibein ha'olam v'lamizbechim kol ha'echal. They can't go past the outside Mizbeach. Vim nichnas chayav malko. If you've been drinking and you walk past the Mizbeach, you get makos. That's one circumstance. Second circumstance. Vim avad v'hu shtuye yayin. Then you get chayav mitabi de shemayim. But if you actually do avoda, if you light the menorah, I don't know, if you bring a carbon on the Mizbeach, then it's not just a lotaseh, but it's a chi of misa bidei shamayim. Okay? Ve'im shata min ha-meshakrim zulat ha-yayin. Ve'avad chayav malkos levad v'lomita. If you drank schnapps, let's say, and not wine, bizarrely, you get malkos, but you don't get misa, because the pasuk speaks specifically about wine. And the second part of the halacha, ve'chol mi sheyoreh v'hu shatu yayin, anybody who paskins while he's drunk, Bein Shaya Kohen, Bein Shaya Yisrael, Over Alav. Whether he was a Kohen or he was, you know, a non-Kohen, if you paskin halacha while you're drunk, that's a lotase. It's not a chi of misa, but it's a lotase. And so again, it's so interesting how much the Rambam was able to stretch this halacha. The Isser, there are two parts of the Isser. One is a Kohen who drinks and goes with, you know, past the Mizbeach. The second is anybody who paskins halacha while they're drunk. Okay, both of those things, according to the Rambam, are part of this Isser. And one of the chidushim in the Rambam is that, and this is against others, is that the Rambam doesn't think it's limited to avoda. It's not just that you're not allowed to do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash if you've drank. You're not allowed to go in. You're not allowed to stand in front of God. And already here, I think you see what we'll see more of later. The Rambam thinks that standing in the inner portion of the Beis HaMikdash is in some way almost equivalent to actually doing avoda, right? You're standing lifnei Hashem, and you're not allowed to stand lifnei Hashem when you're drunk. Now, you'll ask, and it's a fair question, one second. Well, melo chal aretz kivodo. Where am I not standing in front of God? Why is it okay for me to drink, you know, in Efrat, in Yerushalayim maybe, but not at a certain point in front of the, you know, in the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, Avram. Question? Avram Schreiger, question or not? Okay, I thought you were waving your hand.
Ellie, I have a question.
Okay, but you're not Avram Schreiger, but okay.
I could be if you'd like me to be. We haven't gotten yet to an understanding of what it means to be drunk. What is it to be in an ecstatic state? To be in? Yeah, we're using terminology here, and we're not, you know, we're talking about the techniques, the technique, the technical, yes, and not getting to the question of what is drunk.
Yes. So I think I can get there, but I don't want to get caught up in it. I'll tell you why, because I don't want.
Why isn't that the ikar of the whole shir?
No. No, I don't think so, but thanks for giving me credit for that. No, I think it's like if we had a conversation about what about morality, we could have that conversation without you and I agreeing on a definition, because it's hard to agree on a definition of what's moral and what's not moral. I would like to do this year without having a debate on the definition of drunkenness, because I think it's unnecessary for the conversation. I think there are two things going on here. One is you drank enough wine that it affected you in some way. You're not drunk at all, okay? There's a status of I drank wine that affected me, but it certainly does not make me drunk. There's something else called being drunk, where you know your behavior is, your judgment is so obviously impaired. You know, everybody knows it. Let me see if
I call them. They call them not allowed to drink anything, like even a point, whatever.
So no, there is a shear. We'll come to. Let me see if I.
It's like the driving.
One second. Give me a second. Okay, go to source 11. You can't go to source 11. I can. It's a Gemara that's codified by the Rambam. Maybe this will help. Ezo shikar. Okay, ze she'eino yachol ledaber lifnei hamelach. The functional definition of being drunk means no one would allow you to go in to see the king, the prime minister, the president. They wouldn't allow you to go to an important meeting because you're going to embarrass yourself. That's drunk. Shatui, that's less than drunk. Yachol ledaber bifnei hamelach ve'eino mishtabesh. Okay. A shatui means I drank. I had a few glasses of wine. Okay, let's do it this way. I wouldn't want to be a passenger in your car, but you know you can think pretty clearly, right? You can go to a meeting, and just to finish this Rambam, which is based on the Gemara, afal pikein ho'il v'shata rivi'it yayin, etc. We'll come back to that. The Rambam suggests here, and we'll see it in other sources, that there are three statuses, okay? There's a person, let's say, who made Kiddush and took, you know, a sip or two of wine. He is unaffected by that in any way. He's completely fine. There's no halachic status for that person. Then there's a person who drank more than a revius. Okay, let's just assume it's a bunch of gulps in one shot. You are then what's called shatui, which means you're not drunk, but you're also not, you know, absolutely clear-headed. Then there's the third thing. The third thing is you're drunk, which the Rambam defines as, you know, you eino yachol la'amod lifnei hamelach. You just, you know, you're not going to stand in front of the king. You can't make a cogent argument. You can't make a request. That's drunk. Okay? The two that we're talking about with respect to the Beis HaMikdash is 2 and 3. You drank, but you're still, you know, you're relatively okay, and you're drunk. Those things, they both exist as halachic statuses, but sometimes it's hard to follow because they, you know, they're kind of used interchangeably. We think, and maybe we'll come to this, maybe we won't, that the basic halach is kohanim are asur to drink. If you're on duty in the Beis HaMikdash, it's asur for you to drink. When I was growing up, and we used to make Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah because the Rebbe went to mikveh before he blew shofar, so there was nothing else for everybody to do. We lived around the corner from the shtiebel. The Goldbergs, who were the only Kohanim, came to our house for Kiddush because they couldn't make Kiddush because they had to duchen later. right? The general accepted halacha nowadays is that a Kohen does not drink wine, let alone schnapps or anything like that, before he duchens. Because we don't know exactly what the amount is, and you know, what's the difference? You duchen in the morning anyway, there'll be plenty of time to drink later. So, you know, those are the standards that we have to work with. David, did that help?
I mean, it helps to some degree, but it doesn't describe the difference between the, for instance, the state that we're supposed to be in on Seder night with Arba Kosot, which we intentionally drink Arba Kosot in order to get to some level.
I disagree. On Purim, we get to a level. I'm not aware of any source that says we're supposed to get to a level by drinking wine at the Seder. Drinking wine at the Seder is based on being free and showing a level of, you know, pirsume nisa and thanks to God and celebrating our freedom. I don't know there's anything about getting drunk in any way. Am I wrong?
Not in the sense of getting drunk, but in the sense of what the effect of Arba Kosot have on you. You can't deny that the Chachamim, you know, by instituting Arba Kosot, we're not trying to get people to a certain place. That's impossible. You don't drink Arba Kosot. You do not drink Arba Kosot, Eli, without having some effect on your mental state. You have to admit that.
We have 3 weeks to find sources for your theory. It's on you, David.
Okay.
Okay. It's fine. I can't say it doesn't exist. I could just say it's a funny thing. I think on Purim we focus on the result, and on Pesach we focus on the process, not the result. But you know, you're obviously right that a person who doesn't drink regularly drinks four glasses at the Seder. Maybe it makes Echad Mi Yodea more fun than it would normally be. You know, I don't know.
We're going to take this offline.
Okay, but I'll say this. Here's how we're going to end with this drunk thing. Rav Lichtenstein used to quote Justice Potter, who of the United States Supreme Court, who said, who said, I don't know the definition
of pornography. I don't know
the definition of drunkenness. I think all of us know it when we see it. Okay. Back inside. Yes, Avram, you ready?
Okay, because it's related to what David said. In Ketov, it says that Rav Salant from Yerushalayim would make a quick Seder, daven, and then have a quick Seder, have his four cups of wine. He would then drink, he would then sleep and be up in terms of being able to answer Paskin Halacha. So the sleeping nullified the four cups of wine. And
with all due respect, you know, I don't need a halachic source for that. Obviously, you know, the wine wears off after a while. Okay, let's go to source number 5. Here's the Rambam in Hilchas Bias HaMikdash, where you find the rules about the prohibitions on drinking. And we're going to do it out of order, because this one really stands out. The Rambam starts Perek Aleph Halacha Tezvav with the words Yeira'eli. Anybody know why your antennas should go up when you read a Rambam and it says Yeira'eli? So here's the interesting thing about Rambams. As we all know, the Rambam, like the most revolutionary thing the Rambam did was not just write a Sefer Halacha, but write a Sefer Halacha without telling you his sources. Right? That at the time when he published it, the controversy was focused on was twofold. One, a Sefer Halacha is going to ruin Judaism. But two, how do you write a Sefer Halacha without telling me what Gemara you based your position on? But that was what the Rambam did. But when he says Yeira'eli, it appears to me he sounds like he's wavering. And generally, all the Mefarshim say that's probably Rambam's own intuition. That's the Rambam saying, I don't really have a specific source for this, but it's how I understand it. So what does he say here? He says Yeira'eli, it appears to me. Shekol Kohen HaKasher LaAvodah. Any Kohen who is kosher la'avoda, and here is a good time to stop and point out something fascinating. If a Yisrael drinks and goes into the place beyond the Mizbeach, he's not in violation of this halacha. He's in violation of other halachas. But to be in violation of this halacha, you have to be a person who under normal circumstances could do avoda. Right? You're the kind of person who could do avoda, and now your drunkenness is ruining the avoda that you can otherwise do. But for me, you know, if I was drunk there, it wouldn't be this lotase. This is a lotase based on the fact that had you not been drunk, your avoda would have been kshera. Okay? So the Rambam says, a kohen who's kosher la avoda, im nichnas min hamizbeach velifnim, if he enters within the mizbeach hachitzon, v'hu shatu yayin, o shikor mishar hameshachrim, he's drunk from wine, or he's impaired, I guess, from whiskey or beer, it's hard to know, o poru arosh, or he's in violation of another halacha, which is he needs a haircut, o karua bigadim, or he's in violation of another halacha. His big day kahuna are either he's not wearing them or they're torn. Kederach shekorin ala meitim. It doesn't mean like a tiny little hole, but it means it's really torn the way you would tear kriya for a dead body. Af al pi shalo avad avoda hareze loke. Says the Rambam, it's my chiddush. I know people are going to disagree with me, but just his being there makes him in violation of being drunk while doing avoda, even though he's not doing avoda. Why? Ho'il v'hu ra'ui la'avoda, because in theory, he could do avoda, v'nichnas bishato avoda minuval kacha, and he enters at a time that he could otherwise do avoda, and he's disgusting, either because he's drunk, or his big dekuna are torn, or because he needs a haircut, just doesn't look, he's unkempt. Vaharehu muzhar shelo yikanes. So here, it's a great example of, it doesn't really say it in the pasuk. It's not clear. The pasuk seems to say you can't do avoda if you're drunk. But the Rambam says, Yerael, it appears to me that it's potential avoda. If you're in a place where you could do avoda, and you're the kind of person who could do avoda, then you're in violation of this halacha, even though you're not doing avoda. And again, I find it fascinating because I think what the Rambam is saying is that being in a position that you could do avoda makes you lifnei Hashem in a way that, you know, that limits you. You know, you could be in the Beis HaMikdash. What's a better way to say it? The Rambam, basically, the isser is to do avoda while you're drunk. The Rambam understands that to not just do avoda while you're drunk, but to potentially do avoda while you're drunk. If you're there and you're a kohen and you're otherwise kosher to do avoda and you're drunk, says the Rambam, Yerael'i, that's the same prohibition as actually doing avoda. And my instinct is, I don't really have an explanation, but my instinct is that the Rambam sees you there as lifnei Hashem. When you're doing avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, there's nothing more in God's presence because you're actually communicating with God through the acts that you're doing. The Rambam expands that and says, if you could potentially do it, if you're in the place that you could do it, it's the same prohibition. Okay, that's the Yush Chiddush. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no. The prohibition is to do avoda while you're drunk. And the Rambam is, no. The prohibition is to be in a position where you could do avoda while you're drunk. I think that there's a significant machlokas there in terms of the Isser, but I admit to you, I'm struggling to articulate it. So everybody will have to figure that out on their own. The other problem the Ramban has with the Shita Saramam is in source number 6. The Ramban says, "Va'od ani omer ki haminiyot ha'ela min hayayin ba'avoda u'bahora'a." Right? He points out to us the Rambam has two parts to the iser. One is being drunk when you do avoda, or when you're in the Beis Hamikdash and you could do avoda. The second is being drunk when you paskin. Says the Ramban, and he seems right about this. Lo yimnu mitzvat achat ki divrei harav. the Rambam can't count both of those in one mitzvah. They're two separate things. The Rambam himself has told us many times, aval nimnot shtayim b'cheshbon ha-mitzvot. The Rambam says, I'm not arguing with the Rambam that it's not an isur d'oraisa to paskan halacha when you're drunk. He says, but I'm arguing with the Rambam that two separate mitzvot. Sheheim shnei inyanim chalukim ein lahem dimyon ze bezeh. V'din shnehem ba'onshin einenu shaveh, says the Ramban. They're unrelated. They're two separate prohibitions. Their punishments are different. One, if you do avod in the Beis Mishnah while you're drunk, that's a chi of miso bidei shamayim. If you paskin while you're drunk, that's an iser lav for what you get, which you get makos. So says the Ramban, I have no problem with the Rambam counting both as prohibitions min haTorah. I have a problem with the Rambam trying to shtup them both in the same Isser. Okay? It's a strong question. The answer is out there and it's obvious. It's just a question of formulating it, right? The answer must be, for the Rambam, no. These are very, very related concepts. And what I want to claim, and I don't know that it's true, but it just seems intuitive to me, is that the Rambam's expansion of the Isser of being drunk in the Beis HaMikdash from doing Avoda to just being Lifnei Hashem is how he includes the Isser of paskening halacha while you're drunk in the same halacha. I think the Rambam would say, when you pasken halacha, you're recreating Ma'amad Har Sinai. You are standing in front of God. It's like you're in the Beis HaMikdash. It is the functional equivalent of bringing a karban, right? The closest we can get to interacting with God right now is to understand his will as expressed in practical halacha. And when a person decides in that moment, when a posek decides in that moment that the meat is kosher or the meat is not kosher, he is trying to intuit, you know, what God would say if God was standing in front of us. As a result, I think the Rambam is not as bothered by as the Ramban. He really sees the overall prohibition as being omed lifnei Hashem while you're drunk. If you're omed lifnei Hashem while you're drunk, says the Rambam, that's the Isser, right? It's reflected in various types of behavior, but it's the same Isser. Okay, what's another type of behavior that is reflected in? I just want to get moving because otherwise we'll never make the main points. What's the other type of behavior that it's reflected in? So watch this. Look at source number 9. This is the Rambam Hilchos Bi'as HaMikdash. This isn't what we want to do. I'm sorry. Okay, let's look quickly at just an interesting side point, but everybody discusses it, and so I'd feel guilty if I didn't mention this. Look at source number 10. Here's the Sefer HaChinuch on this mitzvah. As we know, the end of every halacha and the Sefer HaChinuch, the end of every mitzvah in the Sefer HaChinuch, he kind of summarizes and he says, who does it apply to and on what circumstances? So here, the last paragraph, the Sefer HaChinuch says, V'nohegi sur biyat mikdash b'shichrut b'zman habayit b'zicharim u'nekevot. Says the prohibition of going to the Beis HaMikdash while you're drunk obviously only applies when there's a Beis HaMikdash, and it applies to everyone. Next. Umeniyat ha-hora'a b'chol makom u'v'chol zman b'zicharim. The prohibition on paskening halacha while you're drunk applies all the time. It applies b'zman hazeh. But it applies only to men. And here's the line that people quote all the time. V'chein b'isha chachama haru'uya lahorot. Right, obviously, you know, this is like the most famous line for feminists in the Sefer HaChinuch. And he says, it applies to men, but it would also apply to a woman who reached a level in which she can paskin. Right? It certainly sounds in this line of the Sefer HaChinuch that psak halacha could be accessible to women. Again, you know, if they've learned enough. This has nothing to do with the topic we're discussing today. It's so famous, I didn't feel like we could just pass it by. Okay? V'chol mishu chacham gadol shebnei adam samchim al horato, asur lo lishanot l'tamidah v'hu shatui. He says, if the person is a posek, and everybody knows he's a posek, he can't even give a shir while he's drunk. Why? Shehalimud shalo kimo hora'ahu. Because anything he says, even in the context of a shir, the Talmidim will accept as psak halacha, because he's a posek. So therefore, that's the prohibition here. Now, very quickly, the Beis HaMikdash thing doesn't apply bisman hazeh, sadly. The pasking halacha when you're drunk doesn't apply to any of us. But what does apply is the davening halacha. Source number 11. Here's Rami Hilchos Tefillah. Shikor al yitpalel mipnei she'en lo kavana. If you're drunk, says the Rambam, you can't daven because you can't have kavana. And without kavana, it's not davening. And it gets worse. Ve'im yitpalel tfilato to'eva. If he davens while he's drunk, it's not just that he didn't daven, it's a to'eva. It's an abomination. Presumably, it's disrespectful to God. Lefikach chozer u'mitpalel kishayitro ken mishichruto. Says the Rambam, if you daven while you're drunk, when you get up from your nap, you have to daven again. You said all the words, but you didn't daven. Okay? That's for a drunk person. Here's the second category. Shatui, let's just assume that's a person who drank a revius yayin. I don't know. Maybe it's for David, it's a person who drank, you know, dalet kosos. Don't know. But you drank enough that it affects you. Shatui, al yitpalel. Rambam says you should not daven. However, vim yitpalel tfilato tfila. But if you did daven, you were yotze. So lechatchila, you shouldn't, but b'di'eved, you can. And now we'll read what we read before. Ezu shikor, what is the definition of drunk? Ze she'eino yachol daber lifnei ha'melach. Right? You can't go into the meeting. You can't meet the president. No one would let you do that. Shatui, a person who drank but is not drunk, yachol daber lifnei ha'melach ve'eino mishtabesh. Right? He can daven. He can talk. He can interact with people. Afal pikein, nevertheless, ho'il v'shata revit yayin, lo yit palel ad she yasir yeino me'elav. Says the Rambam, if you drank a revius yayin, don't daven until you nap or until you know, everybody sort of recovers more quickly or less quickly. But the answer is, you know, take a break, don't daven, even though b'di'evit, if you daven in that state, you'd be yotze. Here too, in the Rambam, it's so obviously the case. What's the connection between davening and the Beis HaMikdash and paskening halacha? It's being omeid lifnei Hashem. For the Rambam, the definition of tefillah is to be omeid lifnei Hashem. And says the Rambam, it's inappropriate to be omeid lifnei Hashem when you've drank, let alone when you're drunk. Okay, so that seems to be the theme. Now, in the last few minutes, let's just return to where we started. Remember, we pointed out that the Isser of drinking in the Beis HaMikdash is juxtaposed with the story of Nadav and Avihu, which is where Chazal got this idea that Nadav and Avihu must have been drunk. And I mentioned to you the questions of the Ramban, and now we'll see them inside. Source number 12. Says the Ramban, V'hata'am b'tzava'a hazot ata. The reason why God commands us to not come into the Beis HaMikdash while we're drunk right now after the story of Nadav and Avihu, shelo yiteh ha-kohen b'shichrut ha-yayin v'yavo lidei machshava she'ina kahogen v'yamut ba ka'asher asu banav. Interesting. Here the Ramban says the problem doesn't really seem to be the drinking. The problem seems to be that when you drink, you're going to think inappropriate thoughts. And if you think inappropriate thoughts during the avoda, you'll die. Ka'asher asu banav, as what happened with our own sons. So now you start to get the sense that the problem wasn't the drinking. The problem is that they thought inappropriate thoughts. What were they? So he says, V'yitachen ki masha darshu shehayu Nadav v'Avihu shatu yayin. Says it could be that when Chazal say that the sin was that they were drunk, lomar ki mipnei yeinam ta'u be'esh zara. The sin wasn't being drunk. The sin was because they were drunk, they brought ketoret that God had not commanded them. Lo sheyihye ha'onesh mipnei hayayin. Why does the Ramban think that? Ki adayin lo huzharu mimenu. He says it wasn't usur. Drinking in the mikdash wasn't usur till after the story when God told them. Aval ansham sheta'u ba'esh Hashem ka'asher ramazdi. Says the Ramban, the sin was eish zara. The sin was that they brought ketoret that they had not been commanded to bring. And that was the tragedy. So why did Chazal say that the problem was drinking? Says the Ramban, that was the root cause. Because they drank, they then decided on their own. And again, we think none of them were great people. They decided out of a great desire to come close to God, to bring an Eish Zara, you know, to bring a voluntary ketoret offering, out of an incredible desire to come close to God. And the answer is, because you drank, you lost your bearings. And here, there's a famous Rav Shamshul Farl Hirsch, which may have been directed at Hasidus. I can't tell you for sure. But he says the lesson here is that worship of God, I'll say it in my words, A, because I don't speak German, which are the words he said it in, and B, because I'm not sure this is exactly what he said. But it's not self-service. Let's say none of you wanted to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and bring Ketoret out of an authentic, genuine love of God and desire to be close to him. It doesn't change the fact that it's still usur. It's prohibited. You can't do it unless God commanded you to do it. There are restrictions on our avodat Hashem, and they're called halacha. And it doesn't matter how pure your motivations are. In the Beis HaMikdash, for sure, if God didn't command it, you can't do it. And not that you can't do it because it's frowned upon. It's usur. It's like, you know, I'm tired of saying the same Shemona Esrei every day. I'm going to make up my own. No, you can't. It may really be the case that I would daven better if I said my own Shemona Esrei. It doesn't matter. Because part of the system we've bought into is a worship of God that's constrained by halacha, that's limited by halacha. We can't just do it no matter how pure our motivations may be. And at the end of the day, let me just finish and then you'll go. At the end of the day, you know, the most famous story of davening drunk, right, is Chana. If you look at source number 13, right, Chana, of course, the mother of Shmuel, who was barren and pray, you know, and came to the Beis HaMikdash, and Eli saw her and thought she was drunk. She wasn't drunk. She was pouring her heart out to God. V'chana hi midaberet al liba. She was literally speaking to her heart, to herself. Rak sfaseha na'ot v'kola lo yishamea. She was doing what we do when we say Shemona Esrei. And Chazal say that Chana is the model for how we daven Shemona Esrei. The problem is, vayach shevel Eli l'shikora. Eli assumed that she was drunk. Vayomer elel Eli, the Kohen Gadol. Ad matai tishtakarin hasiri et yenech me'alayich. He's offended. Get your drunkenness out of the Mishkan. You don't belong here. Vata'an chana vatomer lo adoni, you're wrong. Ishak shat ruach anochi. I am a serious religious woman. V'yayin v'shecha lo shatiti, I didn't drink anything. V'eshpochet nafshi lifnei Hashem. I'm pouring my heart out in front of God. And the fact that Chazal took this as a model for our Shemona Esrei makes me believe, and I want to say this as carefully as I can, but it makes me believe that probably we're supposed to daven as if we were drunk, but without being drunk, right? We're supposed to, you know, generate emotion, but not through external, you know, stimulants. The ultimate Shemona Esrei, the ultimate tefillah, you know, is pouring our hearts out to God in a way that most, that generally speaking, only drunk people do. Normally, we don't behave that way. Normally, we don't talk to other people that way. But the story of Hannah seems to explain a lot, which is the desire for drinking may be properly motivated. If I loosen up, you know, I think that on Purim, I had more spiritual moments than I had during the rest of the year. And I think it's a result of drinking. But it's dangerous. And the halacha is very clear. No, the risk-reward doesn't work. You can't drink in the Beis HaMikdash even if you're properly motivated. You can't, none of another, you can't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim even if they're properly motivated. Because our relationship with God is limited by halacha and restricted in the ways that God wants to restrict it. But our desire for closeness is not restricted, so long as we don't do anything inappropriate. And I think Chazal, by modeling Shmona Esrei on Chana, were saying, looking drunk isn't the problem, right? Being drunk is the problem. And Eli was wrong. He saw somebody davening so purely and so emotionally, he assumed the person must be drunk. And Chana calls him out and says, no, I'm not. And Chazal side with Chana to the extent that they're saying, you know, that's how we should daven Shmona Esrei. Is it also to daven Shmona Esrei when you're drunk? Absolutely. Does the Rambam say that it's a toeva? Absolutely. But that's if you're actually drunk. But if you could reach that on your own, right? If you could reach that madrega without outside stimulants, strikes me that that's really what Chazal want. And therefore, the whole tension here between Purim and, according to some people, Pesach, you know, and the Isurim we're looking at now, that, yeah. It's because there is an upside to drinking. There can be an upside to drinking, but it has to be, you know, understood in context, and we have to be really, really careful about it. And the fact that we decide it works for us doesn't necessarily overcome the fact that the halacha decided otherwise. All right, that's all I got. David, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I agree with this last thing they're saying, because I think that Rav Hirsch talks about, at the very beginning of his introduction to Vayikra, about the concept of korbanot and changing them from some kind of a, you know, the non-Jewish, uncontrolled, ecstatic kind of experience.
Okay.
That in order to create a nafkamina between the Goyim and us in terms of, you know, bringing sacrifices, that we had it really create this very, very regimented, non-ecstatic experience. And therefore, okay, that's the reason for the, you know, but it's interesting also what you said about Pesach, because the truth is maybe outside of the Beit HaMikdash and outside of the Beit Knesset, or even outside of the yeshiva, then in your Dalit Amot, then you can bring for Dalit Kosot. You know,
all right, we'll continue to disagree on that last one. I just want to tell everybody that the Tehillim rally that we are organizing for Bruce's safety is now canceled, because I see Bruce has joined. Thank God our leader is safe and we can return to regular scheduled programming.
Thank you.
Great week.
Thank you, Raleigh. Thank you.
See you next week.
Welcome, fearless leader.
Yeah, I'm sick.
Avram did it.